A reading from Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go stand in the entrance of the Lord's temple and give this message to the people. O Judah, listen to the message from the Lord. Listen to it, all you who worship here. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your own land. But don't be fooled by those who promise you safety simply because the Lord's temple is here. They chant, 'The Lord's temple is here. The Lord's temple is here.' But I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Only if you stop exploiting foreigners, orphans, and widows. Only if you stop murdering. And only if you stop harming yourselves by worshiping idols. Then I will let you stay in this land that I gave to your ancestors to keep forever. Don't be fooled into thinking that you will never suffer because the temple is here. It is a lie. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, lie, and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours, and then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, 'We are safe,' only to go right back to do those evils again? Don't you yourselves admit that this temple, which bears my name, has become a den of thieves? Surely, I see all the evil going on here. I, the Lord, have spoken." This is the word of the Lord. People loved by God, the crowds to whom Jeremiah preached and wrote were tempted to abuse the great promises of God regarding his temple, the forgiveness place. They remembered God's words to Solomon in 1 Kings 9, "I've heard your prayer and your petition, and I've set this temple apart to be holy, this place you have built where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." But their selective memory led them to ignore the verses that followed, where God said, "But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the commands and decrees I've given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel out of this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled and shake their heads in amazement. They will ask, 'Why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple?'" Couldn't have been much clearer, could he? And yet, they dared to treat the Lord's temple as a talisman, a sort of magic charm that merely possessing guaranteed that they were going to be able to live in that land happily ever after and had nothing to fear. No matter how faithless they were to the covenant, no matter how many times they rebelled against his commandment, all they had to do was get together in the temple, do the rituals, and chant, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord," and they thought they were safe. So they deceived themselves. But Jeremiah exposes the deception and calls them to repent. Oh, people loved by God, do we need to repent too? Do we face a similar danger today, particularly we who are Lutheran Christians? Do we treat holy baptism and Holy Eucharist as talismans? Do we treat them as though they were our magic charms? As Lutherans, we're convinced we've got the straight biblical scoop on the sacraments. And the devil knows how they work too. But do we ever abuse them to comfort ourselves that impenitence and rebellion and outright disobedience to God in our lives is all going to turn out okay because I am baptized and because I took communion last Sunday with our imagined get out of hell free card planted firmly in our back pocket? We blithely go on our way, blind as ancient Judah to God's implacable opposition to impenitence. No sin can bring me into judgment, can it? I'm saved. I'm good to go. Ack. Lord, have mercy on us. If these sacred gifts offered to grant us forgiveness and grace to resist and fight the disobedience to Christ in our lives, to enable lives of repentance and real contrition, if they end up being abused by us against their intended end. Throughout the prophets, God is utterly clear. He ain't interested in ritual compliance. This people draws near to me with their mouth, and their heart is far from me. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, and he will have mercy on you. To your God who will abundantly pardon. To obey is better than sacrifice. Make no mistake, the temple, as the forgiveness place, it pales in comparison with Christ's sacraments. Yet, Holy Baptism and Eucharist, so chocked full of the forgiveness of Jesus, poured into them by the Savior himself, dished out richly over your life, into your body, into your mind, into your soul and spirit. Both of them, I say, both end up only bringing judgment if you use them with the presumption that merely receiving them outwardly is some sort of a guarantee of God's favor. That is no different than standing in the temple in Jerusalem before its destruction and chanting, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." While it's true, baptism now saves you, St. Peter taught. As our Lord says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's also true that he who does not believe will be condemned, baptized or not. And yes, even though the person is chanting, "I am baptized, I am baptized, I am baptized," all the way up to the grave, if he continues to say, "And I'll do very much what I please, thank you, God," there is no faith. There is no repentance. And yes, the Eucharist is, of course, the body and blood of him who right here on the tree wiped out the sin of the entire world. It's given to you now to eat and to drink for your forgiveness. But when you receive it in an unworthy manner, thoughtless, particularly thoughtless about the body of the Lord, what was intended for your life only ends up visiting judgment. The Augsburg Confession expresses this whole thing so clearly. Article 13. Our churches teach that the sacraments were ordained to be signs and testimony of God's will toward us. They were instituted to awaken and confirm faith in those who use them. Therefore, we must use the sacraments in such a way that faith, which believes the promises offered and set forth through the sacraments, is increased. Therefore, they condemn those who teach that the sacraments justify simply by the act of doing them. When the Lamb of God makes you a beautiful promise, people loved by God, this promise he wants you to hear and rely on and put to work in your life. That's what it is to receive the sacrament in faith, that is, in repentance. Because genuine faith only exists in repentance. Let me say that one more time. Genuine faith only exists in repentance. God deliver you and me, all of us, from presumption in the use of his holy gifts. But by his holy gifts and by his holy word, may he stir up our hearts to a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that in joy we fall before that cross and we pray together, not my will, my rebellious, sinful, awful will, but thy will be done, O Lord. Forgive me. And he will say, my child, you are forgiven. It's what I've always wanted to give you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.